Well, good morning, folks. It's good to see you in worship this morning. For yet another Sunday, I'll apologise that I'll not be singing. I'll sit down and listen to you singing. So, just one of these things. As I've said to a number of people, it's not as though I'm dying. It's just I've got a bit of a virus. So, I'm going to hand over to Alison to take us through the intimations.
Good morning, everybody, and it's lovely to see you all in church today. It's such a very wet morning, and good morning to people on Zoom as well, and particularly if there's anybody new joining us today. Warm spaces. We opened for warm spaces on Wednesday afternoon, and we had a few people come to join us for coffee and tea, and there's newspapers and games and activities, and there's children's activities too. But this Wednesday we'll be showing Downton Abbey up. It'll be a big screen up here, so people are very welcome to turn their heating off and come and join us to watch Downton Abbey in the afternoon, and there'll be tea and coffee. Holy Communion is, we will celebrate Communion next Sunday the 15th of January, and if you're attending via Zoom, please remember to have your bread and wine or juice handy for the sacrament. Catch Kids at Church is on the 5th of February for children attending. Food bank, please remember food bank, the particular need after Christmas. And Bankhead Farm Shop is open. Also, as a membership of the church group, it's intended to start a meeting for those interested in exploring church membership. Times and dates and place will be arranged around those who wish to take part. And the rest of the intimations are on your sheet. Elaine's handed me a letter from Blythe's Wood Shoebox Appeal, thanking us for the help that we've given. This is the 29th year of Blythe's Wood Shoebox Appeal, and the appeal continues 29 years after it started, as need certainly continues. Thanks for the support in 2022. We've been able to send shoeboxes to people in need in Albania, Bulgaria, Hungary, Kosovo, Moldova, Romania, Serbia, and Ukraine. And just saying that every shoebox brings a smile, every gift in the box makes a difference. So they're just thanking us for participating yet again. I'll thank you for all the help you've given us to bring shoeboxes to the appeal. Thank you.
And maybe just to add to that, when we intimated how much we'd given in terms of stuff for the food bank, it might have read as though the total from Limekilns and Cairney Hill was 100 kilograms plus. Actually, the total for Cairney Hill was 100 kilograms plus. So there was significantly more from Limekilns went as well. So that was a good total going to the food bank at the beginning of December. And of course, a reminder that we do need to continue supporting that very important organisation. And there on screen is the order of service, if you can read it from the distance you're at. We are here to worship Almighty God. So let's begin our service by singing the first of our hymns, hymn number 124, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
My soul, for in Him are you, realms and salvation.
dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we ask your blessing upon our giving. Take and use all that we give of our time, talent, and money. Bless us in our giving and our gifts in their use. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning, George is leading us in our prayers.
Prayers this morning, there's two short prayers, one of thanks and another one of confession and forgiveness. And there's kind of, in the first one, there's three words that I'll repeat all the time, and they're quite simply, we thank you. And in the second prayer, I'll repeat another two words, and they're quite simply, forgive us. You can either join me, and I need a wee bit of support in my voice this morning, or say it out loud, or say it within yourself. So please, let us pray. Almighty God, we have just sung, you are indeed the King of creation. And we thank you for all you have created for us. We thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. We thank you for your goodness and for your blessings over us. We thank you that you are able to bring hope through even the toughest of times. We thank you for your great love and care. We thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you that you're always with us and will never leave us. And now, forgiving God, forgive us for not thanking you enough. Forgive us that in our actions and reactions with other people, be they family, friends, or strangers, where we have failed you. Forgive us in our loving and forgiving that we have fallen short of your mark. Forgive us that in our believing and trusting we have denied your grace and power. Forgive us now, in a few moments of silence, our personal sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you for listening to our prayers, and now we wish to pray together your prayer as taught to us by our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We continue by singing hymn number 213, Every New Morning God Gives Us Freely.
Oh,
During Advent, we were using material produced by Sanctuary First to guide our thoughts in worship. The title of the booklet was Finding Time This Christmas. For the four Sundays of Advent, the subjects that were given were peace, stillness, love, and making room. These were challenging subjects because a fair number of us find ourselves too busy in the run-up to Christmas. It's hard to find a peaceful moment. But what about the Prince of Peace whose birth we celebrate? It can be hard to be still when the demands of society and sometimes the church is to make Christmas ever bigger and more demanding. It's all too easy to lose sight of God's love when we are too busy and there are too many demands upon our time. It always seems that the busier Christmas becomes, the less room there is for the real reason for celebration. Christmas in our society does not leave much room for Jesus. The series we followed had five, not four, suggested subjects, and I always intended that we would look at the fifth study into the new year, and that's today. When I was planning back in November, it seemed a good title for the beginning of a new year, Finding Time for Hallelujahs This Christmas. It made me smile a bit as I began planning for this Sunday during the week. I can assure you that those who have shared my life over the last week and a half have noticed a distinct lack of hallelujahs. I am most definitely of the man flu persuasion when I get a cold. Now, in my defence, quite a number of people have said that the version that's going around at the moment is quite nasty, and I suspect that a lot of this is due to our reduced immunity caused by COVID restrictions during the last few years. I don't know how many times people have asked me this question: do you think God has a sense of humour? Well, seriously, God, you want me to be positive and upbeat? I looked at readings chosen, and I've used only one of them, and you'll see that as the quotation that is attached to the sermon when that comes round. Those two verses from Isaiah just seemed right for the beginning of a new year. Isaiah declares that God is doing a new thing, and are the people looking for it? I then sat down and thought about this subject matter, finding time for hallelujahs. And if, like me, you've been watching or reading the news, the world, the nation, the church, all in some kind of turmoil, it's not easy to see places or a place for hallelujahs. Then I went searching for the main reading for this Sunday, and the one that I found was actually the traditional reading that is associated with this Sunday. And what struck me as I read about the greatest event in history, the incarnation, the eternal Son of God coming into his creation. And there it is proclaimed in the holiest place on earth, God's temple in Jerusalem. And what a fantastic moment that should be for God's people. And if you read this passage that we're about to read very carefully, what it actually says is that the greatest event in history is recognized and celebrated in God's temple by two old people. Simeon and Anna see God doing a new thing, And it is their hallelujahs that we read about. So Rob's going to read for us this morning a passage from Luke chapter 2.
Today's reading is from the New Gospel, Luke, from chapter 2, verse 21 to 40. And it's headed Simeon and Anna. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then he was widow, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hymn 158, God Moves in a Mysterious Way.
Thank you.
One of my Christmas presents this year was a book called Humble Pie, a comedy of maths errors, written by Matt Parker. Now, you have to have a kind of special or maybe odd mind to get the humour of mathematical errors. And some people have commented that I have exactly that kind of mind. One of the things that this book says time and again is that a significant number of problems have been created by the speed of change in our computer-driven age. And every so often the problems arise because this change, fast though it is by evolution and not revolution. Things are built on what was done in the past. An innocuous assumption from the past in terms of how big numbers might become can cause a crash in the present because the numbers have grown so much. One of the little instances in there was a moment in time when the whole airspace, I think it was above Florida, the air traffic control, all their systems, their communication systems went down. And it was simply because a number embedded in the computer system wasn't big enough. And when the computer reached it, it then flicked over to zero. And as far as it was concerned, the system was shut down. And so there were frantic phone calls to all the surrounding areas to take control of the aircraft. Nobody was hurt, but there were one or two incidents. And when you think about it, if you go back to, say, the mid-1990s, when people were beginning to talk about this thing called the internet, and that you might be using it, how many of us thought that it would become what it is today? How many of us have heard an innocuous question and it's almost like the Wild West as you go to draw not a gun but a phone and it's and the answer's there. We have become used to instant information at our fingertips. And that can make our understanding of the past difficult. For instance, why are the birth stories in Matthew and Luke so different? Well, the truth is that the writers had just one or two memories passed on to them by a variety of folk. The Gospels were only beginning to be formed in written form some 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. It was as those who had been with Jesus were beginning to disappear from this earth that suddenly folk said, we better write this down. The assumption had been that Jesus would return before these disciples died, and that wasn't the case. And so the stories were collected, and of course there were those who remembered very well Jesus' ministry, and those stories form the Gospels. And that's why the Gospels are different, because they had different stories to pull from. The difficulty with the birth stories is partly that Jesus had 30 years of normality. There is nothing very much in those years recorded. And when the Gospels were written, there was nobody alive who remembered Jesus' birth. Matthew says nothing about shepherds. Luke knows nothing about the Magi. They simply use what they have. And so here we have Luke's account of what happened immediately after Jesus' birth. And this account jumps to a brief story about Jesus aged 12, and then, of course, to the main bulk of the gospel, which is about Jesus the man. In the passage we read, there is nothing particularly unusual. Joseph and Mary take Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem. Bethlehem is only 6 or so miles from Jerusalem. It would have been the obvious thing to do. They are doing what any Jewish family would have done. There can be a tendency to read this passage from the perspective of Simeon and Anna. They rightly recognize in Jesus the promise of God. Here is the promised Messiah being proclaimed in God's temple, the holiest place on earth. But when we recognize this as a big and special event, almost as though a huge crowded cathedral had this young couple at the front and everything being proclaimed, we get the wrong picture. The wonder, a lot of the wonder in the gospel is the ordinary. And we can miss in this story that what is happening here is utterly ordinary and unremarkable. What is happening is all but obscured by the everyday life of the temple. The places in the Gospels where the temple is mentioned gives us a picture of a busy place. There's a constant stream of visitors, pilgrims, worshippers. There are daily rituals and sacrifices. There are priests going about their business. There's all sorts going on. And yes, people like Mary and Joseph coming to make an offering for their firstborn. In the hustle and bustle of the temple, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus are all but invisible. Had it not been for a couple of old folk, Simeon and Anna, no one would have noticed. The likelihood is that both Simeon and Anna were well-known figures within the temple and probably respected. The kind of respect that we quite likely put a small R with. They were people devoted to God and with a certain holiness, and people would have probably nodded to them in passing. But they're not like the priesthood, and maybe particularly like the high priest. These were people who had respect with a capital R. These were the people to listen to. So perhaps what we should picture is the hustle and bustle of the temple. A few people around Simeon and then later on around Anna hearing their words. Lots of people seeing Mary and Joseph carrying a baby, but seeing nothing that is in the least out of the ordinary. At the moment that Jesus is proclaimed in God's temple, the hallelujahs come from those who were looking for God to do a new thing. They had faith in God and believed that they would see God's salvation. The most important moment in history is hardly noticed in the everyday life of the temple. The great and the good were more concerned with politics and power. This was a time of growing Roman influence, a time of change, a time of turmoil, a time of disagreement. World politics, national politics, temple politics occupied those who were the leaders of God's people. Luke records what happened in those few days following Jesus' birth. And then he goes on, because he knows that Jesus was brought up in Nazareth, and simply says that that's where they went. As we begin a new year, we are aware that these times are very uncertain. It can seem that everything around us is in a state of change, and nothing that we once thought certain remains. Of course, we might have said that about many times in our lives, because there have been other times of turmoil too. We are certainly not the first generation to go through great change in the world around us, or even in the church around us. The one constant of life is change. A question that is asked in the study guide that we were using is, as one year draws to a close and we anticipate another, are we attentive to the new things God is doing? Put in the context of our reading today, are we like Simeon and Anna? Are we looking for what God is doing? Or are we like the crowds in the temple, so caught up in life that we're not really attentive to what God is doing? When the world seems in turmoil and we fear what the future might hold, we need to remember that this is God's world. When the nation is in turmoil and we fear what the future might hold, we need to remember that our God is God of the nations. When the church is in turmoil and we fear what the future might hold, we need to remember that this is the church of Jesus Christ. Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah took words to the people of Israel, God's people. And he said, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" The question is, are we going to be like those two old folk, Simeon and Anna, who believed God's promises and looked for God to do a new thing? And they were the ones who saw. Not the great and the good, not the learned, not those who would have been thought to have been so close to God and know what was going on. It was these two very ordinary people in the temple who were the ones to proclaim the Messiah. Are we those who have room for hallelujahs? Are we looking for what God is doing? And now, thinking about our world, George is going to lead us in our prayers for other people.
Our prayers for others and the world. Please let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray to you this morning for all the people of the world, so that through your never-ending love, we and they will make our world a better place for all by bringing the end to armed conflict, an end to climate change, and an end to poverty, and an end to hunger. We pray for the peoples of Ukraine as they continue their fight against the dictatorial ambitions of Vladimir Putin. Bring comfort to all in Ukraine who have suffered the loss of family members, loss of limbs, and mental trauma as a result of this conflict. We also pray for the Russian families who too have lost loved ones due to their involvement, be it forced or voluntarily, in their belief in the false Russian government propaganda. They too need your comfort at this time. Lord, help the decision makers of the free world to find a solution to bring an end to the Ukraine war and all other wars throughout the world. God, please open the eyes of the world's leaders and decision makers to act now to stop our changing climate and thus the needless suffering by all those affected by it. Heavenly Father, we would now wish to pray for our nation and for our four governments, ministers and their advisors to make the correct decision to help all who are suffering financially due to the war in Ukraine that has resulted in this astronomical rise in the cost of our living, the continual crisis in the NHS and the current strike actions by so many workers. Influence all politicians to lay aside their political ambitions and work together to find resolution to these and many other problems. Locally, we would now like to pray for the Church of Scotland together with all our denominations. Voice is going. Who are facing the same challenges in establishing a new way of church, with the need to change to allow the church to grow again. Father, help us as a congregation to continue our outreach to others by the creation of other activities in our new, bright, warm and welcoming church buildings. We pray for the success of our new project by the provision of warm space and its activities to all the parish during the coming months of winter. Finally, Heavenly Father, we would wish to bring before you in prayer, in a few moments of silence, family and friends whom we wish through your love and your divine power to help. Thank you, Father, for listening to our prayers. Amen.
Our closing praise is hymn number 511, Your Hand, O God, Has Guided.
Yeah.
to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and with all whom you love, now and forever.